Okay. Today is June the 26th, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm Susan Flokus, and I'm interviewing Mr.
Jack Olinsky, O-L-I-N-S-K-Y.
Okay. Okay. Mr. Olinsky. Okay. How old are you?
84.
Okay. Could you tell me a little bit about your family?
Well, my present family? Mm-hmm. I have a wife and myself, that's all. No children.
There's two people in your family.
Two of us.
Were you originally from Bridgeport?
No, I'm from originally Springfield, Massachusetts.
What made you come to Bridgeport?
I became the manager of a retail shoe store here, and they asked me to come here to manage the store back in 1925, I guess it was. Mm-hmm. It's the day before you were born.
What grammar schools did you attend?
Springfield. Okay. Grammar School, Springfield, Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm. What grade did you attend to?
Well, until I graduated in ninth grade, mm-hmm. in grammar school.
What was it like? When did you come to Bridgeport? What date do you remember?
In 1925, I think it was. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I came here to manage the store.
What kinds of things did you do for fun in Bridgeport?
Well, the fun I did in Bridgeport was earn a living. I played baseball, played a little golf, mm-hmm. things like that. Danced, went out once in a while.
Do you remember World War I and World War II?
Do you remember what?
World War I and World War II.
Yes, I do, both of them.
Could you tell me a little bit about them?
What?
Could you tell me a little bit about them?
Well, I was drafted the day, the last day of the World War I. Mm-hmm. I was drafted that day and was sent home an hour later. The war was over.
Oh, gosh.
November 11th, whatever the year was.
So, were you scared of going into war, or you thought it was your duty?
Sure, everybody was scared. I was.
How was it about the Depression? Were times hard then?
Well, it was hard for a lot of people. It wasn't for me because I went in business in 1927 and the Depression came in 1932 and I built the business that was during the course of the Depression.
Mm-hmm. Could you tell me a little bit about the neighborhood you live in?
Well, it's a peculiar neighborhood. I think it's a very lovely neighborhood. We live facing the water. And it's a home we built 21 years ago. It was my wife's dream house. And
so
this was our home.
What? You built all this. You built your home.
Yes.
You did a very fine job on it.
Thank you.
What religion are you?
What?
What religion are you?
Jewish.
Jewish. What church do you go to?
St. Park Avenue Temple.
Do you remember what Beardsley Park and Seaside Park were like years ago?
Yeah, sure. I used to play golf at Beardsley Park. And Seaside Park, we used to go there and have our dates and take our girls there. Mm-hmm. And maybe smooch a little.
Okay. Let's see. So what other kind of sports were there in Bridgeport?
What other kind of sports?
Yeah, what other kind of sports did you play besides golf?
Well, I played golf and I played recreational basketball.
Mm-hmm. Basketball. Were you ever a coach for a team or anything like that?
No, I wasn't. Mostly a player, not a coach.
Mostly a player. Did you ever want to become a coach?
No, I had too much to do to try to earn a living.
Your wife is originally from Bridgeport?
She was born in Bridgeport.
She was born in Bridgeport?
Yes.
Whereabouts?
On the east side of Bridgeport.
Mm-hmm.
Which years later became the slum area. Much later.
Okay. So you came to Bridgeport because you were in the shoe business. What kind of industries were around then, besides shoe businesses? What were the major industries?
Well, General Electric and the ammunition areas, and the manufacture of guns and so on. And there were a lot of industry in Bridgeport back in those days.
But how would you get around to going to work? Did you take trolley cars?
I take either a trolley car or a bus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's
or a walk.
The buses were main transportation then?
Yeah, yeah. There was cars, with some cars, but I didn't own one then at first.
Yeah. When did you get your first car?
Oh, I'd say 1927 or 8.
Mm-hmm. What year?
What year car?
Yeah, do you remember?
The car was a couple of years old, I guess, at the time.
Oh, did you ever go to the theater in Bridgeport?
Oh, yes. I used to love the theater. Yeah, I went to, there was vaudeville and there was regular theater, musical comedy or drama.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever go to the theater around Bridgeport? Were there like the Ritz?
Yeah, the Ritz was not a theater. It was the place to go dancing, in a very nice place where nice people went there for dancing, with the best bands in the country would be brought there to play music for us. And the people that owned the Ritz became very good friends of mine.
Oh,
McCormick and Barry owned it.
So you must be very happy that, you know, you have friends like that.
Yeah.
What kinds of activities do they have at your church for young people?
Activities for young people? I don't know. I suppose the dancing or meetings.
And or something like that?
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. I was always active in things like that. I was very active in civic things and charitable things and philanthropic things. There's a long list I could give you for that, if you wanted it. Bring it over closer if you want to, that stool. Bring it over as close as you want to so you can hear me.
So, what
other
kinds of businesses were there in Bridgeport?
What other kind of businesses? Well, the usual, the retail, wholesale, manufacturing, industry, war products.
Mm-hmm. What did you do for fun in Bridgeport when you just came here?
When I first came here?
What did you do for entertainment?
Well, I went to the theater, went to the vaudeville shows.
Mm-hmm. Were your parents originally from Bridgeport?
No, my parents were not.
Mm-hmm.
No, I was born in New York City, and my parents lived in Springfield after that, when we moved to Springfield, and then I came here, I came alone to manage the store.
Mm-hmm. So did your parents ever think about coming to Bridgeport?
No, not at all.
Do you have any brothers or sisters?
Oh, yes. I have two brothers and four sisters.
Mm-hmm. What was it like for them growing up?
The same as anybody else at that time of the age area. Some were older, some were younger than I am.
Yeah.
And they went to school, and they went to playgrounds, and they did their studying, and had their recreation, whatever, whether it was boys or girls.
Mm-hmm.
My brothers happened to be more athletic, and the girls weren't so athletically inclined.
Mm-hmm. So you had what? How many brothers and how many sisters?
I had two brothers and four sisters.
Big family.
Seven people in the family. Yeah.
So you're the only one that out of all of them that moved to Bridgeport?
Well, I had one of my brothers eventually come to work with me in my place of business that I went in business with, and he was the only one.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, the others visited me occasionally.
Mm-hmm. So, what kind of shoe business? What kind of shoe store did you own?
Was it men's shoe store? You want the name of it?
Yeah.
JAX Incorporated. Jacks Incorporated.
Mm-hmm.
I was in there 50 years.
Oh wow!
I owned that business for 50 years and retired about a little over 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. So, what kind? Did you just make? You made the shoes, or you were in shoe repair?
No, no shoe repair. I sold shoes, I bought shoes, and I designed shoes. Mm-hmm. And I was on the National Style Committee, the men's shoe industry. And I was the only individual shoe store in the United States on the committee, and I represented 12,000 retailers in the country on the style committee.
Oh, wow.
That forecast shoes for men for a year later what they would wear.
Oh my gosh, that must be...
So there was only 12 men in the United States on that committee, comprised retailers, manufacturers, wholesalers,
mm-hmm.
and design experts. And I represented these individual retailers in the whole country on that committee.
And your store was in Bridgeport?
My store, yeah. That was in where the Stratfield Hotel is, right on the corner.
Oh, gosh.
It was a very lovely store.
Mm-hmm. If you had a chance, would you go back to the store?
If what?
If you had a chance to go back to work, would you?
Not at this age, no.
Yeah.
No, I retired, as I say, a little over 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, if you could go back in time, you'd want it to go back in time.
If I could go back in time?
Yeah.
I enjoyed the business very much.
Yeah.
The best I can tell you.
Mm-hmm.
I said I'm not going to go back at this age.
Oh, no. But I'm saying, like, if you can go back in Bridgeport the way it was compared to the way it is now, would you go back?
Yes, because I think it was very nice then.
Mm-hmm.
Main Street was, downtown was like a holiday of Thursday nights. When everybody come downtown, there were no shopping centers in the outskirts.
Oh, yeah.
So everybody met downtown, they came and buy the things that they wanted to buy. And on Saturdays, the same way. Everybody come down to Main Street to do their buying, whatever they needed. And as I say, and it was like a holiday spirit. People met their friends downtown and they enjoyed doing it.
How about the prices? The prices, were they a lot cheaper than they are now?
A great deal cheaper. Yes, they were. They were probably 1/5 of what they are today.
Yeah. So if you think if you went down in Bridgeport now, downtown Bridgeport now, it wouldn't be any like it was a long time ago.
Well, it's entirely different, but people have to earn more money,
mm-hmm.
and they spend more money,
mm-hmm.
because prices are higher. And so are the salaries.
Mm-hmm.
So I suppose everything equalizes itself.
Mm-hmm. How about the mayors of Bridgeport?
How about the mayors? I know them all very well.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, one mayor appointed me the head of the parking authority.
Where is that?
Where is it downtown?
No, who was it? Who was the mayor then?
Tedesco.
Tedesco.
Yeah.
So what do you think about the mayors? Do you think that they did a good deal for Bridgeport?
Do they do well for Bridgeport?
Yes.
Sometimes yes, sometimes no.
Mm-hmm. But I mean the mayors, like I'm trying to think who the mayors are. I'm going back and I'm trying to remember. Like in the 1940s or something like that. Do you think the mayors did a good deal for Bridgeport? Do you think they handled it good?
Well, I don't think any of them. Perfect. They do the best they can, and sometimes the best they can is not good enough,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes the people are satisfied and they re-elect the mayor.
Mm-hmm. Was there any mayor or governor that you really liked, that you feel that did a good deal for Bridgeport?
Well, I can't think of the governor's names right now, but again, some of them are pretty good and some of them are not so wonderful. None of them are great for Bridgeport,
mm-hmm.
as far as governors are concerned. And the same for mayors. Some did pretty fair, some did worse than others, and some did better than others.
Mm-hmm.
But by and large, they try to do a good job, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And it works out as well as it can.
Mm-hmm.
I don't hate any of them, and I'm not in love with any of them.
True.
I vote whoever I feel will do the best job.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an independent voter.
No, I know. My parents are too. So the way you feel about it, you know, you would like to go back into the past, but at times you feel that the future may hold something better.
There's always a hope for a better future.
In Bridgeport, you think?
Everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also in Bridgeport, there's always a hope for a better.
How long have you been living in Black Rock?
21 years.
21 years. How do you like Black Rock?
I love it.
You love it?
Yeah, you can see why I love it.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful view.
Yeah. It's, as I say, it's the house we wanted to build, the way we wanted to build it, and so we enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Well, why did you pick Black Rock to build a house on?
Because of the view, and because of the location, mm-hmm. and the chance to get the land where we wanted it. Because my wife always wanted the water view, and we have it 100%.
Mm. So you just, that was 21 years ago. What do you think of it now? What do you think of Black Rock now? Do you think that they're trying to restore everything to the way it used to be?
Well, I think they're trying to improve it. I think we have a Black Rock Council here mm-hmm. that are doing a very good job mm-hmm. trying to improve the area, and they're very alert, and they are real lovers of the area. It's like a little town within the city of Bridgeport mm-hmm. that's entirely different than any other section of Bridgeport. Mm-hmm. You live in Black Rock?
Yes.
Well, you know what I'm talking about then.
Yes.
That we're all trying to improve it.
Mm-hmm.
The council is a very active council.
So you think that Black Rock is really up on its feet then?
Oh, yes, yes. I have great confidence in it.
Mm-hmm. So you must like living in the community then?
Oh, sure. I like it very much.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anybody anywhere has a more beautiful community than we have where I live.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you've seen something more beautiful. I don't.
Mm. Well, I've only been here for like...
I shouldn't interview you, though, should I?
Huh?
I shouldn't interview you.
Oh, that's okay, really. I can ask the questions. That's what I'm here for. But, myself, I've been here for like 17 years.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of changes for that.
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, of course, this is the ideal little spot in Black Rock that's
mm-hmm.
unusual. Because
mm-hmm.
we're the first house that was built here in this area.
Really?
And, we lived here alone for about 3 or 4 years till finally a neighbor moved in,
mm-hmm.
built a house, and then another one. There's about 6 houses in this area.
Oh, wow.
That's all.
Oh, gosh, no, it was such a hard time trying to find out where you lived. So what do you do in Black Rock for fun? What do you do around here? Do you go to the...
Well, I've been a golfer till I hurt my leg, and I don't do much for fun
mm-hmm.
anymore because I'm a little limited in my ability to walk around a great deal. But I've been a golfer for years and always enjoyed it.
You ever run in tournament for golfing?
Was I in there? Yeah. I used to play in tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't win them, but I did one or two of them.
Mm-hmm.
Many years ago, I won the Silver Cup for the retail division, had a tournament, and I won it.
Congratulations. So you must be pretty good up on golfing and everything like that.
Well, as much as the average person is that plays it a lot, I played it a lot for 50 years.
Oh, wow. So you must really enjoy playing that sport then.
Yeah, well, I was very active civically as well. I don't know whether you're interested in that or not.
Sure, tell me about it.
Well, I was a chairman of the parking authority in Bridgeport for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I was the head of building the municipal garage downtown in the plaza.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, there's a bronze plaque with my name on it as chairman of it.
Oh, really?
And it was $3.5 million garage for 500 cars.
Oh, wow.
I was a member of the style committee of the shoe industry. I was a member of the board of directors of the United Fund,
mm-hmm.
or the Community Chest.
Mm-hmm.
I was also chairman of the UJA, that's United Jewish Appeal.
Mm-hmm.
I was president of the Jewish Community Council.
Wow.
I was a member of the board of directors of the Chamber of Commerce.
Oh my gosh.
I was chairman of the retail division of the Chamber of Commerce. You want more?
Yeah, sure, go ahead. Sounds very interesting. That must have really kept you busy, though.
Yeah, I was very active civically
mm-hmm.
and philanthropically.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember offhand how many I gave you, and there's a few more, but I was a member of the board of directors of the Park Avenue Temple. Did I tell you that?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Sounds very active. You were really kept in active.
Oh, yes. I stayed very active. Yeah. I used to lecture to the people who went out for money for the United Fund, the Community Chest, teach them how to go out and get money.
Yeah.
And they presented me with a big silver platter as a prize.
Honor.
Yeah, it was at the annual meeting. And I don't know how many things I told you I was, but I had so many of them, maybe I skipped a few of them. Mm-hmm.
So how do you feel about Junior Achievement in Bridgeport?
Junior Achievement? I think it's a wonderful idea. Mm-hmm. It teaches kids to do something for somebody besides themselves.
Because I belong to Junior Achievement, too.
Yeah, I think it's good.
Yeah.
I think anything that'll bring children together to do good things instead of bad things, mm-hmm. or gives them an opportunity to get involved with drinking at the wrong age or dope or opium or any of those things, mm-hmm. and that they give their life and their time to good effort, they wouldn't have time for the bad things.
True.
That's my feeling about Junior Achievement or any activity that a schoolgirl, a schoolboy, a high school mm-hmm. Occupies time for good, mm-hmm. then they don't have time to occupy time for bad.
So you feel good about the opportunities that Bridgeport's trying to find things for their kids to do?
Yes, I hope they can do even better than they're doing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Never is enough. Mm-hmm.
True. So you feel that if Bridgeport can get up and actually do something for the young people, that it would be a better community?
No question about it.
We
need it very, very badly. Mm-hmm. To steer the children on the proper course of human events for living a decent life and a good life. Mm-hmm. Because nobody will ever tell me that a kid that does well isn't a happier kid.
That's true.
I don't mean to lecture you, but this is definitely an important thing if we can get the children in the right channel. Mm-hmm. They're doing what's good for themselves and good for others. They won't have time to do bad things to themselves.
When did you get married to your wife?
54 years ago.
God bless you.
Thank you.
I know my grandparents were all.
Yeah, we celebrated our 50th anniversary 4 years ago, and we all came to the house, and they surprised us and gave us a big party. Mm-hmm. And they brought everything and did all the work themselves, and we didn't have to do a blessed thing.
Oh, that was nice.
Yeah.
So you met your wife in Bridgeport, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Yeah, she's a well-known family in Bridgeport. They've been in business for 90-odd years.
Oh, wow.
That's
what's the name of the corporation?
Henry Bresky and Sons. Oh, that's the wholesale food people.
I heard of them.
Oh, yeah.
Before. Yeah.
They're going to, two or three years, they're going to celebrate their 100th anniversary.
Oh, wow.
So this is an old line Bridgeport family.
Mm-hmm. Bet you she could tell me a lot, too.
Yeah.
So, you met her in Bridgeport. Where did you meet her, can I ask?
Where did I meet her?
Yeah, at a dance or
something? I think possibly at a dance or some social function.
Mm-hmm, in Bridgeport.
Yeah, very nicely arranged, when we were introduced. Mm-hmm. And we got to know each other, we fell in love, we married 54 years ago.
No kids, huh?
No kids, no. No, wish we had some, but we didn't.
Let's see. So, she was in what kind of business? Like foods? Your wife was in the food.
What's that?
What kind of business was she wife in?
Well, she worked for her father mm-hmm. in the wholesale food business, mm-hmm. Henry Bresky and Sons. And she worked there till we got married, and that was the end of her working.
Mm-hmm. So she didn't work since then? She
no,
been a major supporter of the family then?
No.
Mm-hmm. What other kinds of, you mentioned there was, she worked for the frozen foods and you were in the shoe business.
What, say that again?
You were in the shoe business, right?
Men's shoe retail, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you were saying that you were running for a parking attendant in Bridgeport, too?
I wasn't working for them. I was appointed by the mayor as the head of the parking authority, a commissioner of the parking authority in Bridgeport.
Where did you get the authority for that?
Where did I get it?
Yes.
The city's authority. The mayor appointed me.
What made him appoint you?
Because he thought I was an outstanding person at that time. I was one of the heads of the Chamber of Commerce in Bridgeport, and I was a member of the board of the chamber, and they felt they wanted a businessman, mm-hmm. which they don't usually have on the parking authority.
True.
So I was appointed by the mayor because of my activity in the Chamber of Commerce. Mm-hmm. I presume for that reason, because he called me up and he asked me if I would accept the job, and I said, well, I'm not a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, that's all right, you can be an independent as far as I'm concerned, but you'd be very valuable to the parking authority to arrange all these things. And he was thinking of building a $3.5 million garage.
Oh, wow.
Which I had a great deal to do with building it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I was appointed, and I lasted 15 years
mm-hmm.
On the parking authority
mm-hmm.
when it was time for me to give it up.
Mm.
And in that time, as I say, we built that garage, and we got a lot of parking lots. And
you helped build it?
Oh, yeah, I had to sign every paper to build that, sure.
Oh, wow. You had a lot of authority then.
Oh, I had a lot of authority with it. We chose the architects, we chose the builders,
mm-hmm.
and we had constant discussions about certain things that should be done and shouldn't be done. Oh, I was very active with it
mm-hmm.
to build that garage the best way we knew how.
So what did you do after you got done with that job? Did you proceed on to something else?
Well, sure. I've always, until I retired, I told you I was active in the Chamber of Commerce. I was active in the Better Business Bureau. I was active
What did you do in the Better Business Bureau?
I was president of the Better Business Bureau. I forgot to tell you that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was president of the Better Business Bureau.
That must have been it. What did you do as the president?
Well, we had committees appointed who would take the complaints from people who were having trouble in their retail purchases
mm-hmm.
and we had an organization put together that would help them where we could and try to keep the city running as cleanly and neatly as possible
mm-hmm.
in manufacturing and in retailing. It's a big organization today, the Better Business Bureau, but I was president for 2 years of the Better Business Bureau.
Wow, must have done a pretty good job.
Yeah, well, no pay.
No pay?
No pay on
you
any
didn't get
job.
Paid for
it? No, I didn't get paid for any of these jobs I told you about.
They were all volunteer?
They're not volunteer, but I offered my services when I was elected to these different things or appointed.
Oh,
but
wow.
They were not non-paying jobs. I never received any money for anything I did outside of my business. It was all done for nothing,
oh,
for goodwill and for the benefit of the city of Bridgeport or the United States and with the National Style Committee or the city or the state.
So you did all this for Bridgeport?
Yeah, all
in
Bridgeport.
What did they do for you?
Oh, they gave me platters. They gave me seals, for instance. Oh, I also was one of the originators of the Barnum Festival.
Oh, wow. Tell me about that.
Well, it started off, it was a very wonderful thing. It's going down some now, it's not as popular as it was. In the, over in the corner there, near the library,
mm-hmm.
you'll see a plaque there that the Barnum Festival gave me just a few years ago
mm-hmm.
in recognition of the work I did for them. If you want to walk over, you'll see it in
mm-hmm.
color there.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot about the Barnum Festival, that's right. It was wonderful at those days. When we started it, it was very popular, and then I was the head of the hospital visitation.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to take about 50 to 100 people with me once a year
mm-hmm.
during the Barnum Festival, and I'd take them to all the hospitals, and we put on an hour show in each place, one after another.
Oh.
And I rehearsed them alongside my store, mm-hmm. Stratfield Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
I told them, do what I tell you to do. Put your act down when I call you. Don't talk when somebody else is performing. You put on your act and you listen to me and do exactly as I tell you. That's all the rehearsals I ever did with them.
Oh my gosh.
And we put on an hour show
mm-hmm.
with a band and clowns and balloons and ice cream we used to give. And we used to go visit the sick in the hospitals even. And they come out there and they're coming through the windows. And we'd put on a one-hour show
mm-hmm.
at St. Vincent's and Bridgeport Hospital and Home for the Aged. And we made four or five trips an hour each one, done
oh.
time. And in three of the years that I did it,
mm-hmm.
I had Miss America with me.
Oh, wow.
Each time.
Oh, gosh.
And I have pictures somewhere of Miss America, so it came with us. They were sent to us by certain connections that I had.
Mm-hmm. There must have been
I also did the Christmas lighting program for the city of Bridgeport.
Oh, wow.
And that time we used to get 5,000 to 10,000 people to see it. I put on a big star
oh, wow.
that I brought in from New York through the Columbia record people.
Mm-hmm.
And we had these stars would sing and we have talking, and everybody sing together for Christmas songs, and it was very beautiful. I also did that Christmas lighting program for the city of Bridgeport.
You must have really been up on Bridgeport.
Well, I was somewhat of a ham actor, I guess, that, that let me do those things, and I was rather professional in the way I did them. And someday, if you have a lot of time, I can open up a book that's about 4 or 5 inches thick of scrapbooks of pictures of me and so on that the newspapers used to run and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So you got a lot of background there that you don't usually get. How many people are you interviewing?
Two so far.
Two?
Yeah.
I don't think you get the same kind of an interview from the other person you talked so far.
Well, I interviewed my grandfather.
Yeah, that's all right.
You know, it's... He came originally from Greece, so it's a little bit different for him.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, you have a lot of background with mine.
Yeah. So that's really good that you're so up on Bridgeport.
Well, because anybody, I earned a living here.
Yeah.
And I was supposed to give something back to the city, so I gave back services in payment for my ability to come here as a stranger and earn a living and build a house and get a wife. And I think everybody owes something to the city they live in. If they give a little effort to help improve the city and make a better city out of it, then they're paying back the obligation that they do have for earning a living here.
Mm-hmm.
And what kind of a living you earn is entirely your own. You either can be successful or you can have just a job in a factory, which is good. They're all honorable jobs, but everybody should try to give the city a little attention, or a lot of attention, if it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
I've been civic-minded.
Mm. So, you know, you said that you were doing a lot of stuff for the Barnum & Bailey, the Mingling, what was it there?
Barnum Festival.
Barnum Festival, okay.
Well, in the first few years, we started the Barnum Festival.
Mm-hmm.
We arranged the program of the festival, and then I took over the... It was my suggestion to have the hospital visitation shows where we bring the festival of people in the hospitals. And I entertained those people and made them forget their illnesses for an hour and enjoy the singing and the dancing and the kidding around that I was able to do because I was a little glib in doing that sort of thing. So that's the Barnum Festival. Of course, they always had the big 4th of July parade and everything. It was early this year.
What was it like the Barnum Festival?
Yeah, my wife got the greatest kick out of it because during the course of those parades, because I was an official, I rode in an open car and she was my driver with a big sign on it, said Jack Olinsky on the side of the car, designating who was in all the open cars, the officials. And I was an official of that.
Oh, gosh. She must have been very proud of you.
She got the greatest kick of her life out of that. She enjoyed it so much. At that time, we had maybe 100,000 people watch the parade.
Oh, wow.
They're not getting that many nowadays.
Mm. But, like, what kind of things did they have in the parade? Did they have as big of a parade as they do now?
Oh, much bigger than they have it now. Yeah, big parade. We had floats. We had a lot of bands and a lot of clowns and a lot of cars of notable people like the governor and mayor. And the congressmen, the senators, they all came to be in the parade.
Now I don't think they have as much as they did then.
Now?
No.
No, I don't think they... I don't know. They said it was a pretty good parade this year. I haven't seen it since I've been out of it.
Yeah, the July 4th parade or the Black Rock Day parade?
What'd you say?
The July 4th parade or the Black Rock Day parade? Have you seen the Black Rock Day parade? It was...
No, I haven't because I have a little trouble walking now.
Yeah.
You see, I walk with a cane and I find it a little difficult for me to get down to places where there are crowds and so on.
It was very nice.
Yeah, they said it was nice. I think Black Rock's a wonderful little community in itself.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a separate part of Bridgeport.
Mm. I know when my cousin writes her letter, she writes Black Rock, Connecticut.
Well, I know a lot of people. A fellow was asking me, a fellow lives down the street here. He said, why don't we, instead of writing Bridgeport, Connecticut, write Black Rock Point, Connecticut. You'll find it.
Yeah.
The people, the mailman will find it.
Yeah.
He says, where we live, call it Black Rock Point.
Yeah. That's what my, you know, my cousin does it all
the
time.
Yeah, because Black Rock sounds nicer than Bridgeport. It is nicer.
If they could separate Black Rock from Bridgeport and just say Black Rock is just plain old Black Rock, I think it would...
Well, there's not enough people to have a city or a town unto itself. But it's the nicest neighborhood in the city of Bridgeport, I think. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about ours, which is an exceptional neighborhood.
Oh, yeah.
But by and large, I think Black Rock is a nice place to live. There's a lot of nice homes here, and people mm-hmm. own their own homes. And there's not much real poverty in Black Rock, I don't think. Do you?
No, I don't think so. Mm.
So it's a nice area to live if you have to live in Bridgeport. And mm-hmm. I could practically spit it into Fairfield. It's that close to us.
It is.
Well, nice to see those sailboats out there.
Mm-hmm. Where's this closest to St. Mary's, right?
What you say?
You're closest to St. Mary's.
Well, this is, yeah, St. Mary's is right there. You mean the water?
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. You if
know.
You stand up, you'll see there's a, see, we have a fence there.
Mm-hmm.
And we have, it's a stone fence. Then that 20 feet below is St. Mary's by the sea, the road.
Oh, wow.
And there's the ocean, or the sound is right there.
Mm-hmm.
We never get water up this high, but we're about 40 feet above the water.
Oh, wow.
So
did you get any, was there any problem when we had the rainstorm in Bridgeport?
The last one?
Mm-hmm.
We got a little water in here because it come down on the screen and get it on the floor.
Were there any bad storms in Bridgeport that you can remember?
Oh yeah, I remember the one in 1935. It was a very, very bad storm. It was a hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
And we lived in a different place in the north end of Bridgeport. And a tree fell down and stopped my wife from getting out of the house.
Oh,
I was in Boston at the time buying shoes, and I flew back in a chartered plane. And on my way back from Boston, we went over Providence. It was flooded, and you couldn't find Providence. And the guy who was the aviator mm-hmm. of this chartered plane couldn't find his way back to Bridgeport. We finally got back to New Haven,
oh,
and there was water on the
runway.
On the runway in New Haven. When we got off, but we got back to Bridgeport. So it was a terrible hurricane. That was 1935.
Never want to live through something like that again.
No, I don't ever want to see it again. I've seen whatever hurricanes we've had here in 50 years.
Yeah.
We've had a few bad. That was the worst one. She finally got out of the house. Tree fell down right, covered the whole front of the house.
Oh my God. That must have been dangerous.
It was very dangerous. I couldn't reach her on the phone, and I had a couldn't find a place to, another fellow myself who went there to buy the shoes. He was a wholesaler, and we had to find a place to sleep. We finally slept in a hotel where they were, it was like a warehouse part of the hotel. They had no rooms left. Everybody couldn't go home from where they lived.
Yeah.
So that was, I've never forgotten it.
So there must have been some really bad situations in Bridgeport, but there were also some good things about
that's right. Every city has its bad and its good.
Mm-hmm.
Events that come up, hurricanes, floods, fires.
Mm-hmm. What do you think Bridgeport would be like maybe 10 years from now?
Well, I'm hoping it'll be better.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have too much hopes for it.
Yeah.
Myself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's going to advance very rapidly in the next 10 years.
Yeah.
That's my honest opinion.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, factory-wise, job-wise?
Well, we're losing factories.
Mm-hmm.
I think we'll gain some corporate headquarters here in the next 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Corporations open that, like General Electric opened their corporate headquarters in Fairfield, right off of Black Rock Turnpike. I mean, you know where it is, I presume.
Yeah, I think so.
And we'll get more corporations here, and I think as it stands now, we're not getting industry
mm-hmm.
that we could use.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like the city be able to have a progressive mayor, progressive city government to fight for organizations to come here.
Mm-hmm.
That's the hope for Bridgeport.
So you think, the way you're saying, you would like more employment so
oh,
that
sure.
less people would be hanging around?
That's right.
There wouldn't be so much
that's crime. The answer to everything is employment.
Mm-hmm.
And people are earning a decent wage for a decent job, but the people have to do a decent job themselves. They have to have pride in their city. They have to have pride in the work that they do to make a better city of it. I don't mean to lecture you, but...
No, it's okay.
I don't know how many girls are doing this will get the kind of answers I gave you.
No, you're really doing a good job. So, like, when you came here, what kind of... Was the houses the same, or... Did you have refrigerators, or...?
Yeah, we had refrigerators. I lived... I roomed out with people. Mm-hmm. Then I went in an apartment after the first year, and then... then I went in, when I got married, I went into a private house. Mm-hmm. We bought a house to live in, mm-hmm. and we lived in that house up until 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And then we built this house. So I only have two moves, really, mm-hmm. in the 50-odd years I've been here. So I haven't been a mover.
Mm-hmm. But overall, you wouldn't move, would you?
If no. You had a choice to. This is the last move I'll ever make. Mm-hmm. My next move will be a permanent move.
Don't say that. Let's see. So this is it. This is your house forever.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah. The taxes are going up, and the new assessments are difficult for a lot of people to handle, and difficult for me too. Mm-hmm. Assessments are very, very high. They tripled our assessment on the value of the house.
Mm. Do you think that they should have more opportunities for senior citizens?
Should have more opportunities for what?
Do you think that there should be more things for senior citizens to get involved in Bridgeport?
Well, there's a lot of things to get involved in if people want to get involved.
Yeah.
There's always things to get involved in.
But do you think that there should be more, or...?
Well, I won't say there isn't opportunities. They're there if people want to do something for the city.
Yeah.
There's always room for improvement. And there's always room for an opportunity to do a job to help your city be a better city.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to want to do it. You want to, when you take on an obligation, you got to follow your obligation and do the job as best as you know how. Or what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're a head of the parking authority, I made it my business to, as I chairman of it, I ran the meetings. I did everything we could to do as good a job as I knew how.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I lasted 15 years in the parking authority, same with the United Jewish Appeal. I was also president of Jewish Community Council.
Mm-hmm.
For 2 years.
Yes.
I don't know whether I said that before or not.
You said it.
And you attend the meetings, you try to do the best job you can, appoint the proper committees to do the job.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to take on an obligation, follow it through and do the best job you know how.
Mm-hmm.
You don't just take it for the appointment. You think it's an honor to get the appointment, then you forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
And not show up to meetings, which isn't fair.
True.
It isn't right.
But as I was saying, do you think that young people would do a better job for the city? Like, if they put a teenager in the governor's place right now, do you think that a teenager or a young person of my age would do a better job of running the city than the mayors would? Or
no, I think to be a mayor of a city like Bridgeport, you gotta be matured enough.
Mm-hmm.
To know what the responsibilities are, to know what has to be done, to keep your taxes down as low as you can keep them,
of course.
And do the best job you know how to do.
Mm-hmm. But I'm saying, like, if you were to put a young person into office just for one day, okay, because I've seen this done, and they were to run the city for one day, don't you think that there would be a big change from what a young person would do?
They do that. They don't do a big change. Now, it happened to be my nephew.
Mm-hmm.
Harold Bresky and this Henry Bresky and Sons that I was telling you about.
Mm-hmm.
He was elected the mayor of City of Bridgeport for one day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every year they appoint one person as mayor of the city. Now, Harold Bresky.
Cub Scouts or something like that?
Well, he was not a Cub Scout, no. He's chosen because he had good marks in high school, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And he was